I want to encourage you to open your Bibles this morning into Acts chapter 1. And my question to us today is, think about where you're at in life. Think about the journey that you're in. We're all obviously born, and at some point, you know, our life will come to an end. But where are we at in that? And, you know, some of us might be getting an education. I know for 8 years I went to online correspondence studies to study the scriptures, study the word of God. So that was years ago for me. Maybe some of you are there now. Maybe some of you are kind of working up the ladder wherever your place of work is. You want to get a promotion. You're looking to get a raise. Maybe you're at a place in life where you're just single and you're just starting out life and you really haven't found a husband or wife yet, but that's where you're at. Maybe some of you have recently found a husband or wife, and maybe you're starting a family. Maybe you're having kids. Maybe you're like me, you and Pastor Andrew. We've got some young kids in the house. Maybe you're a little bit older than that, and you've got teenagers in the house. And maybe for some of us, you've got kids that have now left the house, and you're retired, you're maybe a senior, and you're looking at doing different things. But wherever you're at in life's journey, I want to challenge you with this thought, is that God has a plan for that. And really, what are we doing with our lives? What's the real purpose of that? Because again, we have a start and we have a finish, and we're all going to kind of navigate through life's journeys and, you know, family and houses and jobs. But what are we called to do? And I really want to look at, during this pandemic time, if you have lots of time, many of you have spoken to, you're saying, well, with all this extra time, I've kind of rethought about, you know, I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to just slow down. I'm going to reschedule my life a little bit. I'm going to kind of shave this off, and I'm going to do this. So those are all great thoughts, but what's really the purpose? What's really the end goal for us? And in Acts chapter 1, there's this wonderful story that we see in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. You know, often when we read that scripture, we would look around the four walls of our church and we would see mission statements, we would see slogans, we'd have teaching classes around, like, we got to go, you know, we're called to go. Our church mission or mandate is to go into these other places of the world. But I want to challenge our thinking around that, because let's read it one more time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You see here clearly it says you. It's not speaking of the church, but you are to be God's witness to the world. Hey, the church should be a witness, and I really hope it is in our community. But it really is indicating a personal invitation. God is asking you to go into all the world. Don't forget, the church really is here to equip you to fulfill the scripture. It's not the other way around. It's not like the pastor is the only one that gets to hear from heaven. He's the only one that receives the Holy Spirit, and he's the only one that can witness to you. It's the total opposite, is that we are to be a witness to this world. We're to go out. That's really our purpose and our life calling and our life's goal. God didn't just save you so that you could go to church. Well, thankful that you come to church. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that God saved you. But there's a greater purpose than just getting saved and going to church. There's more to it. We see here in the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 1, for the next 6 or 7 chapters, that they just stayed in Jerusalem. God said, go into Jerusalem and to Samaria and Judea and the ends of the earth. They just stayed in Jerusalem. They got saved and they were comfortable. Jerusalem, we're good. We got the Holy Spirit, good things happening. Watch what it goes on to say in Acts chapter 7, if we were to read the story. You know, this gentleman, his name is Stephen. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's doing wonderful things in Jerusalem. He's so full of the Holy Spirit that his face turns white and, you know, like an angel. He's just full of the Holy Spirit. And do you think that people in Jerusalem are like, oh, that's wonderful, thank you, that we have this great guy that's full of the Holy Spirit and doing all these miraculous works? No, they drag him outside of town and they kill him because they're not interested in that. And God is saying, I'm thankful that you're here in Jerusalem. I'm thankful that things are happening, but I have a greater purpose. I called you to something else. I called you to go. I called you to go to other places. It felt like they were in first gear. They're in Acts chapter 1, first gear. You know, Holy Spirit, good things happening. That's comfortable. I think often when I got saved too, I thought, whoa, I can remember what my life was like. But now that I'm saved, oh, thank God I'm in the house. and I just stay in the house, comfortable in the house. And God is saying, I want to challenge you. I want you to go out. So we'd see in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says this. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So God uses the death of Stephen to really scatter people to where he had called them to go in Acts chapter 1. He said, go out. And all of a sudden, this crisis happens, and this almost like we could say like a pandemic happens. There's this like the church was great. Things were happening. People saved. Good stuff happening. All of a sudden, whoa, something new happened. You know, think about when Jesus was crucified. You know, his disciples walking around with Jesus, good things happening, you know, glorious time, everything's wonderful. All of a sudden, Jesus gets crucified. The disciples do what? They get scattered. All of a sudden, it was good, but then something happened. See, God uses these moments historically to expand the church. The church thrives and grows, unfortunately, during hard times. But sometimes it's a good wake-up call. Sometimes we get too comfortable in the house, and God is saying, I want you to go out. We would read in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8, those who have been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in the city. I want to pull three things out of this piece of scripture to just explain it a little bit further. Who's Philip? Now, I think Philip, I mean, he's a disciple. He's an apostle. He must be an anointed man of God. Look at the things he just did. But look at what verse 1 says of Acts chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered. All except the disciples. Philip was a disciple. He was an apostle. So this is not Philip, the disciple, the apostle. This is just an ordinary guy, Philip. But he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he goes out into a region of Samaria, and things start happening. Think about when Jesus was walking around the earth, when he went to in the region of Samaria. He went into a place called Sychar, and that place was full of drunkards. He meets a woman at the well. He goes into town. People get saved. There's a revival in the community. See, in the enemy's camp where there's drunkenness and craziness, God goes in there and miraculous things happen. If you think about when the Pharisees were traveling, they would go around Samaria. They were like, I don't even want to step foot in this evil place. We don't even want to be, you know, seen in Samaria. So we see here that this is a difficult place. And it would look like it would be hard work to go in there and proclaim the gospel. But the reality is that God is a million steps ahead of us. He's already preparing the ground in these hard places or these hard people that we might think of. And then we think that Philip continues the work that Jesus started in Samaria. A regular, ordinary guy goes in there full of the Holy Spirit and things happen. In verse 6 of Acts chapter 8, it also goes on to say this. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he did and what he said. I don't know about you, when I share the gospel with people, I don't find that people are paying close attention to the things that I'm saying. But I want to challenge my thinking around that to say, like, should I just stop presenting the gospel now, because it's hard. Maybe people aren't responding the way that I would see Philip respond. Maybe I don't have the Holy Spirit in me. But we should always continue. We're called to do this. God is saying, Acts chapter 1, don't stay there. You got to go out. We got to share this. And God is challenging us with that kind of a thought. When Jesus presented the gospel in Sychar, it was a rough and a tough place, but the presence of God moved in there and great things happened. And we see here Philip continuing that mission. God says, go out. The third thing we see here in verse 8 of Acts chapter 8 says, and there was a great joy in that city. It was a tough city. It was rough ground. There were crazy people. There were drunkards. I mean, I can just imagine what that would also equal. Lots of, you know, interesting scenes there. And it says that that city was full of great joy when the presence of God showed up, when the gospel was shared in that community. When was the last time that there was great joy in Terrace or great joy in any city? Have we gotten comfortable as a church we just visit a church on Sunday, and that's kind of our salvation. That's where we're at. We're at Acts chapter 1 kind of a church. You know, we're about to launch 3 services next Sunday. We want to love on you. We want to reach out to you. We want to get you to come to the church, and we'll worship the Lord together. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort to make this happen. But what about those? I mean, we're going to reach 150 people with our 3 services. But what about those that don't go to this church? What about those that don't go to other churches in this town? You're talking like 95% of terrorists doesn't go to church on a Sunday morning. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. What are we going to do about that? And how are we going to reach this community? I think it's a real good wake-up call, this message, this scripture, to get us to think outside of the four walls. I'm excited to see you. I'm excited to have us in the house and gathering. But if that's our end goal, if that's why TPA is here, Terrace Pentecostal Assembly is here, is just to get into the four walls and worship God, and then we go home for 6 days, I think we're absolutely missing the point. And I want to challenge us in our thinking that as we come here, we get filled up with the Holy Spirit. And then as God said, don't stay in Jerusalem, don't stay in the four walls of the church. You got to go out. I'm not telling you got to go to Africa or something, but you just got to go out to this community. There's a big enough mission field just right here in this community. Oh, so good. Let me show you one other piece of scripture that talks about great joy. It's the whole chapter of Psalm 4. So Psalm 4 says this. Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn from my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are in your beds, set your hearts to be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? I think lots of people are asking, where's the good in all of this? And here's what it goes on to say. Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled our heart with greater joy than when our grain and our new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Do you see what it clearly says there? When we see the word greater joy, you will receive greater joy than when your grain and your new wine abound. Often we kind of equate, you know, we're doing well in life to that would equal greater joy. But God is saying crystal clear here that greater joy will abound than anything that the world can offer when God's face shines upon you. That's how we find greater joy. This world needs greater joy and peace so they can have, you know, can lay down and rest. But they're never going to find that in grain and wine and anything else. They're only going to find that when Jesus' face shines upon them. And you and I are called to bring that to people. We're called to witness to people. We want to follow God with all of our heart. And that's where you and I personally will find the greatest joy, the greatest fulfillment, when we're listening and following and living out our lives for God. We see again here in Acts chapter 1, we see the Holy Spirit comes down, and it's a great time. I'm sure there was a lot of joy. 3,000 people get saved. The church gets launched. We see here in Acts chapter 8, though, God said, I don't want you to stay there anymore. I want you to go out. And we also read in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now, there was those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, as we've just been reading, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. As they went out and shared the gospel, it says that the Lord's hand was with them. It wasn't that they had money. It wasn't that they had a great message. It wasn't that they had the Bible and they were just kind of thumping people with it. It's that the Lord's hand was with them because they were doing what they were supposed to do. I want the Lord's hand in my life. I want to be blessed by God. But God is saying, if you go and do the things I've called you to do, my hand of blessing, my hand of guidance will be upon you. My face will shine upon you. This is the global church history when we look at it, where the church was founded. If we look at our own personal history, I just read to you after, 50 years, the 50th celebration in 1985, it's the history of our church as well, is that we've gone out, we've shared the good news, we've fulfilled the great commission that God's called us to do. When we begin to see great and wonderful things happen, it's only because the result is that we're following the word of God. We're not following ideas or thoughts. We're following what God has asked us to do. Let's just read a few more verses here. Verse 25 of Acts chapter 11. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They weren't called Christians in Acts chapter 1 when the Holy Spirit came down for the very first time and 3,000 people got saved and the church got planted and people sold all their possessions and gave it to the church and everyone had fellowship. He didn't say, perfect, the church is, you're now Christians, we now have got it together. He says that they're Christians when they started to go out, when they started to proclaim the good news, when they started to just share with other peoples, other communities. So we look at If we look at Acts chapter 1 all the way to 11, a lot of tough things happened, but God was at work in all of that. And if you think about our church now, we've had to go online. We have the ability to see who's listening. I don't know exactly which house is listening, but anyways, in Canada, we're at 75% of our listeners, our viewers, are in Canada. 25% are outside of Canada. And I found out this last week that somebody's listening in Germany. So good morning, whoever's listening in Germany. That's wonderful. So our church has gone outside of its four walls, but as we read the scripture in the beginning, God says, you, I've equipped you, I'm filling you with the Holy Spirit, and what are you going to do about it? So our church is reaching out, and we will continue to reach out, but it's an individual team effort here that we all must go out. I hope that gives you a new thought and a new understanding of the book of Acts and a few different scriptures there. God took an ordinary Philip, and he transformed the world with him. He took ordinary people and scattered them all around the communities, and God's hand was with them. Oh, that's such great news.